It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in today to the Todd Leonard Show. As you know, each week we do our best to really talk about folks giving back in the community. I'm so honored to have this, really have this special time with my really good friends, Craig Lombardi and Lou Ferraro. I've been involved in Special Olympics basketball for over 20 years, and I've really seen firsthand what these gentlemen have done to really help others. They've been doing it over 15 years, and I'm really excited to have them wake up so early and really join the show and really talk about who they are and why they've given back over these many years. I also have my producer in the studio today, Ellen Anna Paul, to also give us her perspective on folks that give back as well. And as I indicated, really the show's genesis is really those individuals that really want to make a difference in the community. Those that are really, really unselfish and really want to do the best to make the world a better place. I know that sounds like a cliche, but when you hear what these guys have been doing for the last 15 years, I think you'll understand really what the true genesis of the show is. So first of all, I want to say good morning, Craig, and good morning, Lou. It's a great honor to have you, join us today. So what I'd like to do, Craig Lombardi, first is tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got involved in Special Olympics.
Okay, yeah, my name's Craig. I live in West Milford. I'm married to the renowned author Wes Moss, and I'm a proud alumni of Notre Dame, and that's sort of how I got started with the program and coaching with the Special Olympics since 2005. And it was actually our club. I ran a basketball tournament. We raised some money. We raised some money for local Special Olympic outfits. And your organization was one of them. We got involved in the program. And so since then, I've been coaching the basketball program and just having a great time.
Okay. Thanks, Craig. And Lou, I always call you Sweet Lou. I'll try to restrain myself.
That's okay.
Lou Ferraro, once again, thank you for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself as well.
Good morning, Todd. Pleasure to be here. Lou Ferraro, my wife and best friend Chris and I live in Randolph, New Jersey. I've been with Chris for 40 years. We have three wonderful children, our daughter Elizabeth, my sons Daniel and Andy, and my son Dan and his wife Laura have two lovely grandsons, Connor and Brady, and they're like the extension of the love of our life. And as you well know, when you have some little guys running around, it really like keeps you young. I graduated from Montclair State University, and actually that's where I got my first feel for coaching. I went to school at the time where in New Jersey you needed 128 credits to graduate, and I was like, well, what do you do with those extra like one credit things? So I started to take phys ed classes, and somebody said, you should take a coaching class. And so I took a three-credit coaching class, met a bunch of people that were athletes at Montclair, and I think that's kind of what led to my involvement in Special Olympics. I love working with the program, working with Craig, working with you, Todd, some of our other volunteers, and it's just a great feeling to be part of the community that way.
Lou, I've had, like I said, blessed to get to know you guys over the 15 years, your dear friends, and just to see the commitment you guys have put in, week in and week out is pretty remarkable. I want to go back, though, if I may, Craig. Let me first go a little bit into what really started your feelings that you wanted to get involved in something that I'll call charitable. Was it something in how you were raised? What really was the start of that?
Yeah, I think it started way back when I was just a kid. My parents, they were always trying to do something for people, whatever they could do. And, my mom's a saint. I guess everybody's mom is a saint. But my dad, to my dad, it was also sharing both the passion of sports, but also getting everybody involved and doing what you can. And then even as a kid, I think I mentioned to you somewhere along the line, I did a Olympics in my backyard where I raised money for the muscular dystrophy for the telethon. So just starting as a kid, it just was something I just always was there, something I wanted to do. And then over the years, as I got older, especially through going to college and then all the other organizations, you just have so many more opportunities to reach out to people And but you also do something fun. I really channeled my passion for sports and tied it in with a lot of the different things I do. And I think that's, you don't even know you're volunteering. You're just doing it, and it's just it just works out perfectly.
Right. Now, you mentioned, you know, your parents and how they instilled in you giving back as well. Was it though something just clicked inside and it was a feeling that you just wanted to start to get involved? I mean, is there anything in particular you can point to that was just like the beginning of it, or just kind of evolved over time?
Yeah, it was just a way of life. I mean, we weren't the Rockefellers, but we had plenty for ourselves, and we just, and just when you're sharing, you get so much more back than what you put in. And, I can see that again, the example of my parents, and then just doing it myself, it just be reinforced. It's like doing exercise. You know, maybe you don't want to do something, you gotta get up early to do something, and once you do, you feel so much better afterwards. And I think that's just what it is. Everything I did just reinforced the next event I wanted to support, the next charity I wanted to support. And there's just so many, and what the people appreciate what you put in it. Again, you get so much more back than what you put into it. And I'm sure we'll talk later about the Special Olympics basketball, about how much we get out of that. But, it's just been a lot of different things that I've tried to do. And, I got my health. I can help other people out. It's just there. You just do it. And
that's a wonderful thing, Craig. Yeah. Now, there's no question, folks like you that, you know, early on started to realize the importance of giving back. Lou?
I was going to say, I'm always fascinated by that, because I feel like when it comes to kids helping and giving back, like, I have a son who, like, just has this feeling in him that he knows that he should help kids. Like, he had a kid in his class with disabilities, and he just somehow knew. And I'm not saying kids that aren't self-aware are bad, but there are definitely, like, I feel like people like you that at such a young age just kind of, just know it. And I know he just kind of knows it. And I'm always fascinated when I see, like, other people that are at a young age, these kids that you hear these stories, that they take it upon themselves. We have a girl in Morristown selling cookies. We talked about maybe getting her on the air to help the oceans. And I see her out in Morristown on the weekends where all the traffic's walking by, and she is signing people up and selling cookies to help the oceans. She's 11, 12. I'm impressed that you had that feeling young.
And I'll just reinforce, I do think going back to that, I mean, I'm this old that I can remember the Jerry Lewis telethon being on. And I really think that was was probably, what you just said reinforced that. I'm seeing other kids who are struggling with whatever, and then there was a program that was encouraging people of all ages to donate money. So in a way, maybe that event is even more important, just the fact, because that's where I learned it as a kid, seeing other kids and saying, hey, I got to help, these other kids.
It's amazing. It's great.
How about you? So, Lou, tell us a little bit about your perspective in terms of just how that all started, inside, and just how it's blossomed over the years, about this idea of not just being so worried about yourself, but really reaching out to others.
Well, Todd, I mean, playing sports, especially basketball, when I was in grade school and then in high school, I just saw what coaches did for the athletes that they were, part of their program. And I said, boy, this would be just a great thing to get involved in. And then after getting a feel for athletics a little bit in college, when my children were born, I was very fortunate. I'm a sports guy, and it started with my daughter. I'd take her out in the yard, and we would just hit softballs around. And the next thing I know, she wanted to play softball. You show up at the field, and it seems like there was always a shortage of parents. So you can either observe or you can get involved. And I just said, boy, this is a great way to meet other people in the community, be part of a new town that we lived in Randolph. So it started there. Volunteering to just help on the field, then an assistant coach, then a coach. And I did that for both my son and my daughter. And then, my wife and I, we have our third son has an intellectual disability. He has Down syndrome. And as he started to develop, and all the different programs that we found that he could be part of, he then realized that there's this great community of people that are involved with Special Olympic sports. And these people want to be athletes just like anyone else. And so to be able to be part of his life further and get involved with Special Olympics, starting with softball and basketball, and he now participates in four sports. And just it's been that outgrowth of making these people feel comfortable, not just in athletics, but as productive members of the community and society. It's just a great thing to watch. It really is.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
I've been blessed to work with you guys. You know, I say work isn't really the right word, but being involved in Special Olympics hoops for many years. And when you guys joined the program back like 15 years ago, I saw the level of commitment and just what you guys stood for, which was really treating everyone very, very, very nice, very equally. You looked at the athlete as a person, whatever disabilities they had, it didn't matter. They got their best shot they could to do their best to perform and to be, you know, great athletes and better citizens as well. And I remember, you know, like it's yesterday, watching Sweet Lou go through the defensive drills early in the morning, and the enthusiasm really was contagious for all of us. And it's a tremendous amount of time that you gentlemen have put in over the years. In terms of, Lou, if I may, your son Andy, I love him. I call him Moose. I know that's his nickname. He's a great young man and a pleasure to coach and be involved with. What evolution have you seen with your son in terms of the development he's had being involved in the Special Olympics program over the years?
You know, Todd, it's a great question. As Andy grew as a person and as Andy has grown, as the Moose has grown as an athlete, it's interesting now that he has taken on a role at practices to help with some of the younger athletes, or maybe some of the athletes that need some additional assistance. It's great when his team is done practicing that I'll see him with other athletes, some who have more advanced skills who are helping him, and some with lesser skills where he's actually helping them. And I think that just is an outgrowth of what the program can do for people. It extends their capabilities. 15 years ago, would I have ever thought that he would be that type of person helping other people? It's amazing to watch. And he really enjoys it. He now, as part of his adult ed program, reaches out and works with the people in the community in Madison, in Chatham. He's part of the Pride program that he goes to in Florham Park, and they have tremendous community outreach programs. So it's provided him a chance to use his skills, to develop job skills, and really develop life skills, and that's been an outgrowth of his involvement in Special Olympics, and it's just a tremendous attribute to the program.
Yes. Question. When it comes to Special Olympics, I don't have that much knowledge, which is why Todd wanted to do shows like this. So people that don't maybe have a child but can find out more about the program. Does your son meet friends? Like, is everyone from the local North Jersey area? Is it a broader area? Does he come out with friendships as well from this? Just not off the field. You meaning, okay, we go play basketball certain times, but are there friendships that then develop from this?
Ellen, excellent question. Yes. The program that he's been involved with, he started out at ECLC in Chatham with it, and now the adult program is called Pride. They provide all types of enrichment programs for their young adults. And so he's developed lifelong friendships. They have community activities. They have social dances. They have, fall celebrations, winter celebrations. And the way those friendships have developed, they're friends 24/7. They're on the phone. They're on social media. They're texting each other.
Right, FaceTiming each other.
Yeah,
I get it.
It's just a great thing.
That's amazing. And
that's a great outgrowth of what you see here.
Amazing.
But if I might add, so that people can specifically follow up on this, if they do have a child or an adult with disabilities and they wanted them to participate in the program, they should go to the state website, which is sonj.org, and then look for information about Area 3. That's our area. It's Warren, Sussex, Morris County, and there's several other areas that they can participate in, and I don't know whether we're going to get into it later, but our program has changed a little bit this year in that we can also expand our geographical area. So if there's someone perhaps in Sussex County that doesn't have a program, they can participate in our program this year, or even Essex County. But again, just to get started, if they live in this area, they should go to sonj.org, click on the Area 3 information, and follow up with the names that are there. Do I have a minute here maybe to mention what is going on with the program overall, just so people who want to join the program?
Greg, we got more than a minute.
Okay, all right, Greg.
And first of all, you woke up so early. Yeah, the least we could do. Come on.
Well, I just want to mention that previously there was a county organization that sponsored all of our teams in this area, but they're no longer are involved. So each athletic activity is now an independent program. And so, for example, the basketball program is now called the Motown program, Motown basketball program, but there's also other independent programs for other sports like bocce ball and swimming and bicycling and golf and softball and whatnot. So there's a lot of sports that anyone can participate in. Obviously, we have the big three here. We focus mainly on basketball, but I know Coach Lou coaches other sports. But again, that's how you get your child or adult. Our players range in age from 15 to 55. So, you know, most anybody is eligible. And if you want to play, you mentioned, you know, they're just being athletes. Yeah, they're not really special athletes. They're just athletes. They're like anybody else. And
they want to throw the ball. They want to.
Exactly. I mean, the best thing about sports is it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. There's always a game you can compete in. And they're no different than any other athlete. They want to win as much as anybody else. They know as much about the game as anyone else. And so there's really, in a way, there's really nothing special about them. They're just athletes. And I think that's how we treat them. And I think they really appreciate that.
Right.
I have to touch on that, Craig. So I've been involved for many years as well with you gentlemen. And I think that's really one of the keys and the beauty of what we do is everyone gets treated equally. You might make some adjustments, but that's just the way it is. You treat them like any other athlete, mm-hmm. and you treat them with respect, and you look at their development, and they want to win as like anyone else. They're just like everybody else who's going through life doing the best they can. Craig, I wanted to go back, though. So you've been involved with the program for 15 years now, and that's a really long time. I mean, I know I've been involved for quite a number of years as well, but I want to go back to when you first started 15 years ago. And in terms of your commitment with basketball, I mean, you mentioned Notre Dame, so for the Fighting Irish fans and all, I know you're really into sports, but why basketball? Was it just something you loved as a young guy and you wanted to kind of give back with your knowledge?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that coming over here. I would say there's a couple, like baseball, I love watching all sports, but there's a couple sports I watch even more intensely, and basketball may not be number one in that, but as far as playing, basketball has always been the passionate sport for me that I participated in. I don't know, I'm not sure why, it's just something that it was, maybe it's because I'm also not 300 pounds and couldn't play football and can't skate backwards and that eliminate hockey. But for whatever reason, basketball was just something I loved to do. And I think I was coaching even when I was 7 years old. For whatever reason, I enjoyed that, telling people where to go and seeing other people and, you know, what positions they're in. And also, you know, one thing I want to, you know, my dad's still around. Maybe he's listening here. And I just want to thank him. You know, years ago, that was his sport as well when he was younger. And I remember we actually built our own basketball pole and backboard. We didn't buy one of those things, wheel it in, and there it was. We actually built one. It was maybe a little bit crooked, but it was. I owned the home court because I knew all the angles. But so it was probably a lot of that. It was also something I could share with my dad. And then over the years, I just love the game on all levels, and I've been on some good teams, been on some not so good teams, but it's just always been there. And I think the other beauty of the sport is you can shoot by yourself and figure out all the problems in the world and what's going on in your life and just shoot free throws, and or you go one on one with your best friend and then you go at it like crazy, or you just pick up 5-on-5 and you, like, I have an outdoor basketball tournament where you play for 4 hours straight, and there's just so many different ways you can just play the game, and it's just something that I guess I was born with that passion, and then my father fed that into me even more.
Right. Let's go back 15 years ago for the program when you gentlemen joined it. How many basketball teams were available to the, let's say, the Morris County, Sussex County community back 15 years ago? Do you remember how many teams were available back then?
It was a little different then because they didn't have unified basketball. So I think we had more teams in our program You might know more.
Right. Well, the reason why I bring it up is because I remember when you guys joined, we had two teams, and then over.
Oh, you're talking about our program. Our program.
About that. What I wanted to focus on, gentlemen, is, and maybe Luke can speak to this as well as, and both of you can, but when you joined the program, I recall there were only two teams available for folks in the area that wanted to have their participate. And I want to go over the evolution of time, because one of the things that I'm one of the most proud moments for me is watch the growth of the program, what you guys' great involvement in terms of reaching out to the community, where an athlete, no matter what their level of disability, there would be a team available, because we all realize that if you're going to put an athlete on a team, they should kind of fit in so that they're not getting run over on the court and they can really enjoy themselves.
Right. I think there were three teams then when I first started, and I do remember the main reason I got involved is I got some Notre Dame guys to scrimmage against the team you were coaching, the top division team. And I remember that first scrimmage, we were losing 8-4 early on. So you guys were bringing it. And then there was a middle level team, and then the lower division team. But then I think it's a tribute to all the coaching and the atmosphere we create, the family atmosphere we create, because every year we get more and more kids interested in joining our program. They're leaving other programs, coming to ours. I think the players themselves probably talk it up. You may be able to speak to that more, Andy and his friends. And, now we're up to five teams and we're really pushing it. We may end up with a sixth team this year. And,
that's a question. Do you divide by ability or age more?
It's not divided by age. It's really based on ability and disabilities may be different for different players, and a lot of it comes down to stamina.
Right.
That's one thing too. Some players can handle going a whole game, other players can't. But basically, there's several divisions, and the players will find their division.
Their place.
The first year, maybe we have them in the wrong, maybe they're a rung lower or a rung higher than they should be, but they find their level, and then it's all competitive.
Right. Cool.
Right, Luke, give us your perspective as well, since when you first joined to where the program is now, how important was it for you to be able not only to be so involved, but also see the growth of the program?
So the first thing I noticed within 10 minutes of walking in the gym, the first time Andy got to work with, Coach Todd, you and Craig, was this was a real basketball program. To Craig's earlier point, these were people that were being treated respectfully as athletes. They were having fun. They were learning basic skills, individual skills, but they were also learning like team defense skills. And I said, okay, that basketball has been my passion, much like Craig. I bet you I can run around and help with this. And three teams to now watch it grow to five teams, to the point that Ellen made. I think part of this is a lot of those players, in addition to what we were able to do, reached out to their friends, reached out to friends in other sports, and that the players that were on the softball team started to say, whoa, wait a minute, there's a basketball program. I can do that. There were other people who said, I'm not really as good a basketball player. And the thing there to just say is, don't worry about it. If you want to be involved, you can be involved. I think that's the other thing for Special Olympics that Craig touched on. There's just a diversity of programs, whether it's softball, basketball, flag football, soccer, golf, bocce, track. To see some athletes who are now in their late 50s and early 60s, and they're still competing.
They still outrun us.
I was going to say, a lot of you guys are probably in a lot of pain the next day. I mean, Todd came in this morning, and he's like, I'm in pain. It doesn't get easier as we get older,
Ellen, I can tell you. There's
getting out of bed. Isn't that the joke when you hit a certain age?
Absolutely. There's my wife could tell you this. There's plenty of Saturdays I come home. And, you look for the ibuprofen, you look for the ice bag or the heating pad, especially – when you look at some of the athletes that compete on our higher level teams, some of my coworkers who this year, they want to volunteer to help. They hear, they'll be like, hey, Lou, you wore a Special Olympics vest to work the other day. What is that about? And they'll say to me, well, like, how competitive does this get? Do the athletes care?
like they're athletes. They absolutely care. I said, and if you look at our top team, I said, they're like a college or a high school JV or varsity basketball team.
Right.
I said, these guys and gals know how to play with the rock. They know how to play defense. They know how to shoot. They know how to rebound. And I mean, that's just to see them develop like that. Amazing.
Right.
And if I could add, it's not a Pollyanna day at the court every day. These guys take guys and gals. I want to emphasize that we have a lot of female players.
I heard that. Male and female.
And we criticize them too. And it's, you know, sometimes it's not pretty. And even on the lowest level, I remember one game, they were not hustling at all, which was very surprising. And I had to chew them out at halftime. The second half, they really upped their game. So, we're coaching them. We're not, and they're having fun, but they're also, we're not letting them do whatever they want to do. It's a real program.
You want them to grow, just like any coach wants them to grow. So if you know someone's ability and they're falling behind,
if we're pulling our hair out, we want them to pull their hair out.
Right. Well, I think what we're really talking about is the respect and just how everyone gets treated equally and how everyone wants to win. Everybody shows great sportsmanship in the process. They'll like everybody else. If you're not playing well, you know, sometimes they get down. We lift up their spirits. But one of the really interesting things that these great guests have talked about is it gets really intense. If you have a chance for people listening to go to a Special Olympics basketball game, I kid you not, it's like magic in a bottle. When you see these games go down to the end and it's nip and tuck and back and forth, I'm telling you, the parents and the fans are going as crazy as everyone else on the sideline. It's a beautiful thing to watch. And that's one of the things that I think is a beautiful part of the program is you watch the athletes grow also. You know, you might come in contact with them when they're 15 or 16, and now they're in the 30s, you know, and same thing with the families. And you know, it feels like a big family. That's one of the amazing things about the program is we've been in contact with so many different athletes and families over the years, but it is a beautiful thing to watch them grow, and everybody's really, really tight and very close.
I could just add real quick, my wife and I, we haven't haven't had kids, but I have like 50 kids for 4 months a year. And and then I also have about 10 to 15 the rest of the year. Somehow they got my cell phone number and they're always calling me up with this and that. But so for me, it totally is family. I mean, they're part of my family and really all year round.
I've talked to a lot of coaches that feel there's kids that not every kid do you change their life, but there's definitely a few that you really connect with, and it affects them. I've talked to friends that have coached and stuff, and it's amazing. They lose a parent or something, and it's hard for them to talk to someone except they talk to their coach.
That's true.
Like, it's crazy. I guess it's like non-threatening. You know, it's that person that's taking care of you that's non-threatening, and it's amazing.
Right. So we're going to take a short break for a moment, and we're going to get back to this in a second, okay? Thank you.
For over 30 years, the Todd J. Leonard Law Firm has helped thousands of clients following all types of serious personal injury accidents and has recovered over $100 million on their behalf. Todd Leonard is certified by the Supreme Court of New Jersey as a trial attorney and has dedicated his entire legal career to providing outstanding personal injury representation to his clients and their families. The Todd J. Leonard Law Firm takes great pride in helping their clients and are very proud of their 5-star reviews. If you've been seriously injured or lost a loved one in a car accident, slip and fall accident, truck accident, motorcycle accident, or injured on the job, they have the experience and the proven results that you can trust. Call them now for a free confidential consultation at 973-920-7900 or visit their website at lawleonard.com to learn more about their firm. Their headquarters are conveniently located on Route 10 in Denville. Put their team of experienced New Jersey personal injury trial lawyers to work for you now.
That's a good idea.
Well, welcome back to the Todd Leonard Show. This is once again a great honor to have Craig Lombardi and Lou Farrar with us, and Ellen, my producer. I wanted to follow up a little bit on why I find the program to be so special and really important, I think, in a lot of lives, is the relationships that are built over the years. We just talked right before the break about the family atmosphere. And that's, I think, the beauty of sports. It brings a lot of people together, a lot of diverse people. You know, sometimes people are saying, how's my kid going to get along with that kid? And when you join this program, everyone is not only treated equally, but everybody cares about each other. They respect each other. And the commitment of the coaches are really incredible, and these gentlemen today really exemplify that. Craig, I want to talk a little bit about the relationships that you've built over the years, you know, with the athletes and the parents, and how important that is in your life, since obviously you get a lot out of it, and I wanted to talk about that aspect of it.
Yeah, well, the parents, as well as the guardians, and also some of these people live in group homes, and their staff people are just unbelievable people. They're at every game, every practice. They're tremendously supportive of their child, but they're also unbelievably supportive of the coaches. And I've had so many great times with them. One of the things we do at the end of our year, the teams that qualify get down to the state playoffs at Wildwood, and that's where the parents really reach out to the coaches. And it's the end of the season, and they know we're exhausted, but they take great care of us, and they're so enthusiastic. I get, you know, it's funny, I get to enjoy their kids for 4 hours on Saturdays, 4 hours on Sundays, but then I'm done. I go home and exhale, and they're still, whatever disabilities their child has, you know, they may have to work with their child in that regard. And so the way they do it and still smile at everything, they're so optimistic. I think I've never seen a group of people more happy consistently in my life, unless there's been a close game. Because, you know, the parents also, we have a few who like to remind the referees that they may be making some calls that aren't so good for our team. And I mean, I've gotten some gifts from the parents that are just so special to me. You know, that one team won the state gold medal, and they enlarge the score sheets of everything. So I have that on my wall. Just little things like that. I can't even put into words how supportive they are. And I've never heard one cross word. And no one's coming up and saying, my son should be playing more, my daughter should be playing more. You know, the only things they'll tell us is they may have ideas how we might be able to better compete against some team, or they may scout a team for us. So, for me, it's just been unbelievable. And then, Lou, you can talk about it from your perspective as well.
Yeah, Lou, why don't you give us some of your views of that as well?
Yeah, the family support that the athletes get, and that transcends to the coaches, has been nothing short of outstanding. My family, some of our family's closest friends now, are people that we're associated with through Special Olympics. And I guess a great example of that would be in the basketball program, we actually have a team called the Pink Team. And it's a group of moms who just give so much of their time. They organize the basketball banquets. To Craig's point, you know, you'll get to a regional competition or a state competition, and they show up with color-coded water bottles and towels for the players. And that just makes the experience that the players have that much more special. And when you get together with those families, it's a community within the community. It really is. And I think the thing that's really impressive is when a Special Olympic athlete competes, more times than not, and far more than the norm, their entire family comes to watch the event. So brothers, sisters, aunts, grandparents. It's great on a Sunday as a volunteer to go to a game and say, wow, there's 120 people watching this basketball game. Because that gives the athlete that much greater fulfillment. And when you think about the referees who volunteer, the scorekeepers, I mean, nobody's getting paid for that. They're just there to make the program and the experience for the athletes better. And I think that just speaks to itself.
So, you know, Craig brought up Wildwood, and for the folks that don't know, I mean, the teams that qualify, I know we talked a little bit, we touched very briefly on the sectional tournament that's held, and then the teams that are good enough to advance.
Talk about intensity. Yeah. That's what everyone should go see.
Right. So if you really want to see what we're talking about, you go into March Madness, and you take a look at some of the tournament games to advance to the state tourney, and it's really a great experience, because I know for the years I've been involved, it gets really, really competitive. And watching, and one of the things that I've gotten tremendous joy out of is when I look in the stands and I see one of the athlete's parents take so much pride and joy when their son or daughter make a hoop in a key part of the game especially. Something inside of me just lights up, like that's what it's all about. And I just love that. And I know that you gentlemen similarly have that experience as well. When you look out into the fan base and you take a lot of pride out of that.
If I could answer something real quick to that, two things real quick. Number one, that tournament, the sectional tournament is usually the second weekend in March, and it's at Drew University, or Fairleigh Dickinson.
Right.
So if you want to come out and check out, like, the most intense basketball day you'll ever be part of, because there's 1,000 games going on at the same time, whistles everywhere, and it is the most intense weekend of my life every year. I don't know, I'm sure you guys would agree on that. I forgot my second point. So
What I was thinking is, as a parent, because I have three boys, so you watch them, you sit on the sidelines of sports. There's, when a parent sees their child doing well, it's not because they're going to win the game. Every parent, doesn't matter what your child's level is, if they have disabilities or not, they want to see their child happy and, you know, doing well. So for that parent to see their kid doing the best they can and getting rewarded for it, there's no better moment for a parent at any level. It doesn't matter the level, because some of our, you know, kids play travel soccer and some of them just play town. It doesn't matter. You're just seeing your kid at their level happy. And that's what that joy is.
Especially if they do something they haven't normally done during the year.
Yeah, it's...
Maybe they've been a good scorer, but they haven't had that big rebound or something. And then they know the game, and then everyone... I mean, we as coaches go, oh, my God, we finally got through to the person.
Yeah, it's amazing, yeah. Yeah, I had a visual of it as he was saying that story, so I got excited.
Well, that's the beauty of the game, is everybody can relate to it. But with basketball, especially, because there's a tremendous amount of teamwork involved, and maybe Lou can touch on this too, but I know Lou, when he does a tremendous job coaching together with Craig, is the idea of teamwork. And we have five different teams, and they have all different levels of disability, but even with athletes with more disabilities, the idea of teamwork, and I get tremendous joy out of watching a team with more disabilities, with athletes with more disabilities, really understand the teamwork and what it's all about, because that shows the sportsmanship and shows that everybody's truly involved. Lou, what made you realize, in terms of your coaching goals, this idea of passing the ball and working it around? Because some of the teams that we've had over the years have one or two diaper dandies, great players. Nobody else is touching the ball. That's not fun for the other three or four athletes. So what made you realize the idea of passing the ball?
I think it just comes back to understanding that a Special Olympic athlete is an athlete, and they can develop skills even if they don't have them when they first come into the program. And one of the easiest things to do is to try to balance the team, to your point, with some of those diaper dandies, but some of maybe the less experienced athletes. And they eventually just find a way to find their level and then fit in. When you see a team that doesn't understand, as the other team has the ball, where to even go on the court if they're not playing a man-to-man defense. When you see a team of athletes who get it and it clicks in a close game, and you say, we've got to stay in our 2-1-2 zone, and they run back and they go there, or at least four do, okay? And then you kind of realize, you know, well, maybe if you don't go there, you should just chase the ball, because you're really good at chasing the ball. And now you've got a really tight box. One of the best things is when the other coach of a program walks up and says, I can't believe the way your team plays defense. I mean, we wouldn't have lost this game if it wasn't for your team
always usually being in the right place. It's a killer. Or maybe it's that one, you work on one specific inbounds pass. And all of a sudden, with 12 seconds left in a game where you're down by a bucket, the other team doesn't know that when you line up, four of your five athletes that are on that court are going to know where they're going to go. And if the person throwing the ball in finds that open person, the person throwing the ball in feels as good as the person who puts it in the basket. And it's a great – that's what really comes through when you watch these athletes develop.
Right. Well, so, Lou, you know, you just talk a little bit X's and O's, but I have to say, if everyone understands this, I think we do here in the room at least, you guys really love basketball, and you really understand the game. You know, when I got involved, I knew a little bit about basketball. I've watched you guys coach as well, and together we have a great coaching staff. And that's one thing that for the athletes and for people that want to get involved, and I'm biased, but I mean, the level of the commitment of the coaches in teaching the athletes how to play properly and good sportsmanship. I can remember countless stories over the years, and I'm really proud about this. We could be on a fast break, and one of the players on the other team could fall down. We'll stop and help that athlete up. I mean, these are the kind of people that are involved in the program. Similarly, and this is a microcosm of our society, we have teams that were just so much better than the other squad. And instead of running up the score, we're always mindful of respect and sportsmanship. That we'll spread the ball around. We'll make sure that we're not trying to rub it in the other team's eye. And I think that's important, too, for everyone to understand the level of sportsmanship that we really try to, you know, instill in the athletes and the program, which I think I'm really proud about, as well as that commitment to really being a great program. Let's talk a little bit about this concept of Wildwood, because I can recall, you know, like it's yesterday, too. We have a player. We had a player that was really involved. His nickname was Hollywood. And at the beginning of the year, in the first practice, he'd say, "We're going to Wildwood." And even though it was the first practice, it was like, you know, electricity in the practice, and we all understood. So this gives you an example of how serious it can get and also the fun that we have.
People know that Wildwood, you get the teams from all over the state. And you get some unbelievable matchups, and you're playing on real courts. A lot of people down there. It's a great time, but it's intense. A lot of games, driving everyone around, making sure no one gets lost.
Right.
Great times.
Right. I can remember, Craig, many a time driving back from Wildwood about a good 2+ hours, and we had nothing to do but talk about the games and say, how did we let that happen, or that was great, or that was bad, or we should fire ourselves, or whatever it might be. But it's a wonderful experience to be involved with such a bunch of great guys and see the athletes and the families grow. I talked a little bit about just some of the experiences that you guys have, that I've felt, and I want to hear from you, Lou. Is there some things that stand out in your mind that, you know, I know you've been doing this 15 years, but anything like stand out that just like, wow, that was just a remarkable thing, either a game win or a game loss or an experience that you've seen?
Sure, Todd. You know, one of the things that we haven't touched on today that just is an outgrowth of sports is you develop in programs like this rivalries with other organizations. And the athletes know each other from other community programs they're in or other adult ed programs they're in. So you might have athletes from Somerset County, who, you know, are involved with our athletes in Area 3, but then they have to compete against them. And 2 years ago, and I know, Todd, you were on the sidelines of this game with me, we paid one of our arch rivals from Somerset County. And they had beaten us twice during the year. And, you know, when our athletes on our red team saw that schedule, I think some of them were like, oh, no, coach, not again. Here we go. But, I mean, I told the team with you, Todd, on the sideline with me, squad, it's defense first today. We got to really be unselfish passing the ball, but we got to get back on defense. Now, the final score of the game, which we won, was 11-10. And some people might hear that and go, that was a basketball game. Well, that was a defensive basketball struggle. There was not a loose ball that didn't have four people diving at it. The referees did a great job. It was chaotic. But when the game was over, the team won, and they felt great. An hour later, when we realized from a tiebreaker rule we weren't going to the big dance in Wildwood, that was the other side of coaching. It was explaining to the players and then the parents that it was okay. It was fair. The tie-breaking rules did not allow us to advance. But that moment, I couldn't have been prouder as a coach for the athletes that was on the team. They did not do anything but lay it all on the court. And that's another thing that you develop as part of this. You have to be a gracious winner, but you have to understand how to be a gracious loser. How not to be upset and know I put my best my best effort forward. And I feel good about that. I don't feel good. I might not be moving on, but I feel good about what I did today.
Right. And I think that's critical, too, about the sportsmanship that we all try to instill in the athletes. There's a winner and a loser. I know my late dad always taught me as a young guy, just, you know, you got to be a sportsman about stuff. You're not going to win everything, but you want to understand. You know, you shake the other guy's hand or other girl's hand at the end and say, thank you so much. It was a great battle. Hope to see you again down the road. And you work even harder at it. So even though you lost this time, you're going to fight harder, and then you'll appreciate that win down the road. Craig, are there some things that stand out in your mind over the 15-plus years of giving back?
I don't think we have enough time on the radio. I have a group of friends, and every year we go on a baseball weekend. We go to a different city, a baseball game, and there's one day for baseball, one day for going out and enjoying nature, and 2 days of partying. But as part of that party, we have a moment. We all go around the table and we say, "What was the biggest impactful event that happened to you during the year?" And for most years, unless there was something important with my family or something like that, it's always been one moment during that season that was just so special to me, so emotional, so a big win, or even sometimes you have a loss, but you know, you just laid your hearts on the table against the best team and you just lost by a bucket. And so, I mean, you and I have shared a lot. I remember one player from way back, Andy was sort of the star of the program way back when, and it was a game for the gold medal, and he got fouled on a three, had to hit three free throws to tie it. Made it, and then he had a couple more free throws to win it. There's been a couple teams the last couple of years. It was a unique blend of personalities and kids on the team, and we started slow, but at the end of the year, we ended up getting a gold medal, or you know, one year was a silver medal in a unbelievably intense game, in which evidently you can get technicals in Special Olympics basketball. I have had a couple, but not for anything too bad. I don't know, it's just these kids, it's just so intense. I watched that game from the sidelines you were just talking about, Lou. That was one of the most intense battles I've ever seen. And, I think you said it right. It's when you're playing certain teams or some, you raise up that level of intensity, the players raise it up and the coaches are in it. And it's, you know, at the end, win or lose, it's one of the best experiences you've had for the year. Like I say, it probably got boring to my friends, but it was always a Special Olympics event that really moved me in some way.
All right. The technical fouls, I know you didn't want the honor of being like the Bobby Knight of Special Olympics basketball, but
I took one for you, but as a referee, you were saying the referee's not calling a very good game, so I stood up to tell the referee that. The referee said, you should sit down. I said, I would if you were calling a better game, and I got a technical for that. But I was polite.
You're a gentleman, even though you get a technical.
And I think Hollywood took over. So
But we touch on this, and Lou brought this up. The referees, they do a remarkable job. They're all volunteers, so you always take it with a grain of salt. It does get a little frustrating when it looks like they need eyeglasses. And they
by the way, the paid ones, it gets a little frustrating too. So that's just the nature of sports.
Coaches never make mistakes.
Yeah. No.
But nonetheless, I mean, it is a wonderful thing to see from, you know, like we talked about, from the coaches, the referees, the scorekeepers. Okay. Everyone really does give back to the communities. I wanted to ask both of you some additional questions in terms of just looking back, you know, retrospectively, because you guys have made an incredible commitment over 15 plus years, and that's a long time. Lou, I'm going to ask you, how do you think it's enriched your life being involved for these many years giving back through the various teams that you have a commitment. And I know it's not just basketball. It's you know, softball. You do a lot of stuff behind the scenes as well. What do you think you've gotten out of this in terms of your joy and enjoyment of it?
Excellent question, Todd. I definitely feel I'm a more balanced person. I think I know how to understand people better. I think it's made me a better listener. One of the best things that coaching in Special Olympics has taught me is how important it is to listen to what the athletes' needs are, because they're all different. And it's made me, I think, develop those friendships within the team, within the community. And then when I see those young adults take those skills that we help with and take them outside of the gym, where they're helping people, whether it's in their day program, whether it's in their community, whether it's just a family member in their life, when you see that you're making a small part of a difference in their lives, it just makes you feel better as a person. It has to.
I was very inspired today. I feel like I need to get more involved.
Okay, well, we're going to get to that in a little bit, Ellen, okay?
You're we not definitely need
sneakers, but we'll
Ellen definitely about. Needs, I think, an involvement on the sideline. I can say it.
No question. We'll have to figure that out. Craig, why don't you tell us a little bit about, from your perspective, what I just asked Lou about, looking back and how it's changed your life and what you think about the last 15 years and how it has it helped you as a person.
Well, it's made my wife a widow for 4 months, but she really supports the program. She's been at some games and whatnot, and she loves all of it. For me, it's sort of just made, it's given me a bigger family. That's the best way I can describe it. Again, like I said before, I feel like I have 50 kids who are 15 to 50 years old. And I don't know, the weekends, January through end of March, just goes by so quickly, is because there's just so much going on, and it just makes my life better, and it gives me, like I say, an extended family. I think that's the simplest way of putting it, but that's what it is. And also I just want to emphasize, these players have personalities, and you know, some of them I actually have friendships with, you know, beyond just coach player. I mean, because, you know, we have kids who go to college. Their disability may be a physical disability. That doesn't stop them from graduating from college and whatnot. And it doesn't stop them from having great wit about them. I can dish out sarcasm if I get it right back. And I've had some interesting discussions on the sidelines. And I think that's another thing. I've met more people with more unique personalities. I mean, there's one guy that's Kier is on our team, and he's the Pied Piper of all Special Olympic athletes throughout New Jersey. At the state tournament, every athlete was coming up to him. And so we have people like these with these big personalities. So I've gotten to meet more interesting people. It's not even an athlete. It's not a coach athlete anymore. It's a person.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about the end of the year. You know, we have some incredible parents that have an annual banquet to really say thank you to the coaches and to the athletes. And I know that they give out something for the coaches to remember the season by. And I know we touched on that. And as I was getting ready for the show over the weekend, I was looking through my office, and I was like, you know, wow, you know, what an incredible ride to have this blessing to help others, and to see the appreciation, you know, from the parents and the athletes. And I look back at the photos. I look at back some of the trophies and the medals and everything else, all the trappings with it. But it's just the experience, right, guys? And just being part of that group and seeing it grow and to see, you know, these individuals just mature and become better citizens as well. How do you guys think, and Lou, maybe you could touch on this, how you think it helps the community programs like the Special Olympics program?
I think it makes the young adults who are participants just be better all around people. And as a result of that, I think they take, especially the aspect of teamwork and caring for other people, I think they take that back to their homes and back into their communities. I see that with my own son. I see that with a lot of the other athletes. Todd, you mentioned the point. I mean, if an athlete falls, literally, there'll be most of the athletes on the court will stop and make sure that the athlete is okay before they go finish the play. That may be what's a little bit different about Special Olympics. I'm not so sure there's anything wrong with that. Because if that's the way they act on the court, you know they'll act like that off the court. And I mean, that's just a great thing to just watch happen. And that makes communities better. It just does. And I'm a firm believer now. I have seen it. Our Special Olympic athletes are as vibrant a part of the community as any athlete is. It's just a matter of if they're accepted, they can participate. They can add to the community.
Yeah, we're also seeing a lot of them moving to group homes now as they become more confident in themselves and independent. And that's in these group homes, they're part of a community. Part of what my job is, I help some organizations like that retrofit homes for group homes, and they're right smack in the neighborhood. So these kids are going out there; they're even more a part of a community. And so again, maybe it's a small part we do, but I've definitely seen it in the players that started 15 years ago. Almost all of them now are moved into group homes on their own, a little bit more independent. So
before we close the show, and just real briefly, Lou, what are the present needs of the organization? You just, you know, give us a little bit of what the organization currently needs.
Sure. I mean, we've been very blessed the last few years. We've gotten a number of other people who have gotten involved in volunteering and also coaching, because when you have five teams, you really like to have at least, you know, two coaches available to work with each team. So more volunteers that can help us from a coaching perspective. And then the program itself, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be paid for in the program. So any type of donations that people would want to make, certainly go, you know, to a long way to helping the athletes.
Yeah, Craig, anything you want to add about
that? Yeah, we could really use are some people that would volunteer to scrimmage against our top-level team. We usually practice Saturdays from 11:45 to 1 in Morristown, at the Morristown Neighborhood House. So if we got some athletes out there, any age, we could really use people to scrimmage against those guys and make them work. We have some fundraising ideas. We may be selling franchises to our program now. But the biggest thing is we need volunteers to scrimmage. We get a lot of support. I just want to mention we get a lot of support from the state. So some of our bills are covered, but not all of them. But if I could, real quick, one more thing. If you have, I spoke at a school, and one point I tried to make is this goes beyond sports. If you know somebody in your school that has a disability, invite them to a movie. Take them out somewhere. These are kids that they just want to be part of something. In sports, at least they can be part of a team. We also need when they're going to get part of society.
Excellent point.
Yeah. So I just want to say once again, what you gentlemen just touched on are really the heart and soul of the Special Olympics program, which is to reach out to the community and lift everyone up and treat everyone equally. That's the beauty, from my perspective, of Special Olympics, is we're all in this together. Lend a helping hand. Someone that could benefit from the program, let them know it exists. Support them any way you can. And similarly, as we all have grown from being involved in this program, makes you a better person. I want to thank both of you again for coming today. Guys like you are really what this show is about. It's about giving back. It's about folks helping others. It's about not worried about yourself, but making the world a better place. I know that sounds like a cliche, but we could really use that. We could use guys like you, ladies that are involved, lend a helping hand, someone in need, pay it forward, make the world a better place. I want to God bless everyone for listening today. I look forward to joining you next Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, and have a blessed rest of the day. Thank you so much.